Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're free. Finally. Free now. Free to bump elbows again now. Free to finally see Mom, Dad, Gran, even that weird uncle now. Free to escape the news, finally say I do, or even a first, hey you, now. Free to go north side, south side, or even the seaside and be free as a city seagull now. Free to... Now, there's nothing like the feeling of being free now. Ready? Book a ride now with Free Now. And with Ireland's shortest wait times, we're always ready.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Point, Channel F1's very own podcast. Today's episode, we're going to be going through the second race of the season, the Styrian Grand Prix. We're really flying through them now. I'm your host, Finley Krabolda, and as always, I'm joined by the Planet F1 editor, Michelle Foster. Michelle, how are you holding up two-thirds through this triple header to get the season started?
Well, unfortunately, number two wasn't quite as exciting as number one, but going strong and hoping for perhaps better at the Hungaroring, although it is the Hungaroring, unfortunately.
Yeah, kind of hard to get massively excited about it, but hey, you never know. Considering it wasn't quite as good as last week's race, the two major talking points literally come from the first lap and the last lap. So before that, we thought we'd just take a kind of recap of the race in general, because, considering how easily he won, there's not too much to talk about from Lewis Hamilton's race, but, I mean, we can't not mention it, because that was a hell of a statement for the race weekend for him, wasn't it?
It was a huge statement. I mean, last weekend, he wasn't in great form, and people kind of were wondering if all the stuff going on in the background had distracted his focus. And then he came out this weekend and showed them, no, it hasn't. Pole position by 1.2 seconds. I can't remember anyone taking pole by that big a gap in the time that I've been following Formula One. It was absolutely fantastic. The fact that he was doing it in the rain as well just made it even more wow. I mean, conditions were treacherous. Every second radio message was, I can't see, I can't see. And there, Hamilton went and put in a phenomenal lap. I mean, it really was a display of the guy's masterclass. Incredible. Toto Wolff said something to the effect of, like, it wasn't from this world. And I think anybody, whether you're a Hamilton fan or not, has to concede that, yeah, that was a phenomenal lap. And then Sunday's race in the dry, he just showed the world why he's a six-time world champion. I mean, he was in fine form. Pulled away from Max. Valtteri didn't stand a chance of catching him. It was all Hamilton. No curbs, no chaos, no gearbox drama, no sensor issues. Just Hamilton on a Sunday afternoon stroll.
Yeah, it literally was. I mean, I get the feeling that a lot of the time during the race, he wasn't even pushing that much. He went into that kind of cruising mode that he has where he just looks after the tyres, messes with the people behind him a bit, gives them a bit of hope, and then if he needs it, he'll just go a second quicker, go purple the next lap. It was one of those weekends for him, and I mean, it's not a bad track for him coming up next. He's won seven times in Hungary, I believe. So obviously last week there was a lot of talk over whether Bottas can maintain a challenge over the course of an entire season. But I mean, when Hamilton's on top form, you just can't really see it, can you?
No, I mean, you've got to actually feel sorry for Bottas. I mean, he finished second, having won the previous race. He's still leading the championship by 6 points. And one of the first questions he gets asked in the press conference is, like, oh, has this absolutely squashed your confidence? Do you now not believe that you can do it? And the guy's kind of going like, well, still leading the standings. I'm still the guy in charge. You know, so you got to feel for him. But unfortunately, this is what Hamilton does. You know, he gives you a glimmer of hope and then he squashes you like a bug.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure Bottas isn't under any illusions himself that when Hamilton's on form, he's pretty unstoppable. I think, but what Bottas needs to do is what Rosberg did, is just take complete advantage of any race weekend where Hamilton's a bit off it, because you know, they do happen. He's not perfect, and when that happens, I guess Bottas can get back in the mix. But I mean, yeah, going to Hungary next, where Hamilton's got a ridiculous record, he's got to be favourite to take the championship lead by next Sunday, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's 25 points versus 18, so unless Bottas gets the fastest lap, but then, in fact, no, Hamilton would still have it if they were tied on points because he'd have 2 wins. But, you know, I mean, the damning indictment of it all is we're already speaking about a Mercedes 1-2 coming at the Hungarian Grand Prix because they aren't a class of their own. That W11 is phenomenal. Its engine is once again, I think Helmut Marko came out and said, how did they manage to do this massive leap forward in horsepower? And they have. So between the driver lineup, the car, the engine, we're again looking at a Mercedes 1-2. So Formula 1 really does need Valtteri Bottas to munch on that porridge.
Yeah, I mean, they're already over double the points of the second place team in the Constructors, which is currently McLaren. And yeah, a large reason for their dominance is the complete and utter failures of Ferrari this season. I mean, in terms of pace, they're obviously already looking pretty poor. Once again, in qualifying on Saturday, they failed to get both cars into Q3 with Leclerc going out in P11. And then somehow, things got even worse in the race. And it took, well, literally one corner for it to happen as Leclerc took out Vettel. So, I mean, I think everybody's in agreement in whose fault it was. But yeah, how do you see the incident, Michelle?
Oh, I absolutely despair over Ferrari these days. I mean, every time we think maybe, just maybe, they could fight for the championship in the next season, they have an incredible ability to let us down. And unfortunately, on Sunday, it was Charles Leclerc that let the team down. You could either say it was Charles Leclerc's fault or it was a racing incident. It was the first lap. There were a lot of cars trying to get into one corner. Everyone was squeezing everybody's. But the kid just needed to hold back. He just needed to hold back a breath and just wait. And, I mean, well, you can't really say Ferrari would have had the pace to overtake those ahead of them, but potentially Ferrari could have had the pace to overtake at least a few cars ahead of them. But instead, he put both cars out the race. Vettel's rear wing was taken off, hanging by a thread. Charles tried to continue, but the floor damage was too great. And that was his race over, double DNF for Ferrari, who, if I remember correctly, have now got 19 points in this championship. They're like 61 points or 62 points behind Mercedes. It's pretty worrying.
Yeah, it's the worst start they've had to a season in a long, long time. And yeah, I mean, I think Leclerc's definitely more to blame than Vettel. Vettel was literally a sitting duck in the incident, I think. And yeah, fair play that he took the blame. I just think that if it was a different driver, if it was the other way around, for example, then I think Vettel would have got a lot more stick for it than Leclerc did for it. But obviously, they've been speaking about upgrades. They supposedly brought some to Spielberg for this race, which didn't show up in qualifying because it was wet and then we didn't see in the race. But yeah, they will be taking them to Hungary. Do you expect any kind of significant improvements from them there?
I think it was on Friday or Saturday, Lando Norris came out and he was saying that, you know, the problem with Ferrari is it's not efficient, but the car can still corner. So potentially Hungary might be the one race that they could actually get a decent result. But even then, I don't expect them to be challenging for the race win. The one thing you did touch on there, Shame, is the difference between the criticism towards Vettel and the criticism towards Leclerc. It was quite stark how after their Brazil crash, Matteo Binotto came out pretty much minutes later and said that the blame belonged with Vettel. And yet, immediately after the Leclerc-Vettel crash yesterday, he was saying, let's hold off placing blame. So I really do feel for Seb in this. He's not getting a fair deal. Yes, I get that Charles Leclerc is young and very hard on himself, so you don't exactly want to add to his emotional trauma. But yeah, shame for Seb.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the incidents as well, in Brazil, I mean, it was a freak incident, really. They barely touched. If it is any other cars, any other race, then not much would have come from it, really. But obviously, it turned out to be a complete disaster. Whereas it was a lot more clear-cut this time, I think. It was literally Leclerc diving up the inside and taking Vettel's rear wing off. So, yeah, I mean, it's true, isn't it? He really is Ferrari's golden boy these days. But I don't know. I mean, his last season at the team, Vettel wasn't particularly emotional after getting taken out. You know, he didn't hear his classic team radio outbursts, and after the race, he seemed more resigned than angry, I guess. How much do you think he really cares about this season?
You know, I really think he does. I mean, he's stated many a times that he's not running away. He's up for the challenge. But I think when you've got a car that's potentially only fighting for points and not podiums, you're kind of a bit more willing to accept when things don't go right than you are if you were in a sort of a race-winning position. But yeah, I don't give up on Vettel. I think he's going to show us before the end of the season. At least I hope he's going to show us before the end of the season why he is a four-time world champion. I would hate for him to go out on a whimper. But yeah, I think he's accepted that kind of this is potentially his last season in Formula One. So enjoy it. There's no point getting all hit up and angry over the world. It is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, in the past, his anger and his outbursts have often been one of his downfalls. So yeah, maybe it'll be a good thing, you know, that he's more kind of at peace with the situation he's in, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it was a fairly tame race after that. There wasn't too much of note that happened due to the Mercedes dominance. We had an interesting battle between Bottas and Verstappen for a few laps, but that was all it was. It lasted about two laps of actual wheel-to-wheel racing. The most interesting battle, pretty comfortably, was the midfield one, with it all coming to a head in the last few laps. I mean, we need to talk about Lando Norris, Michelle, because that was just, again, another incredible drive from him, wasn't it?
Oh, Lando, he is proving to be the star of Formula One this season. I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. It's like when McLaren said to him, go for it, lad. He goes for it. I don't know if he still doesn't have that fear of youth or whatever it is, but that kid has got incredible pace. And I think the previous week's results, that podium finish, which, let's be honest, I mean, he grabbed that himself by putting in the fastest lap of the race, has shown him that he can do it. He can fight with the big boys. And yeah, he was just wow. I think it was two, if not even three cars that he passed in the last two laps. He was just absolutely sublime. And he did it all while sporting an injury as well. He hasn't gone into much details about it. There's some that say chest, some that say rib, others that say back. But pretty much since Friday, something's been hurting him and he's been drugged up, his words, not mine, on painkillers. And yeah, I mean, maybe that's what McLaren needs to do for him from now on.
Yeah, it clearly worked. Yeah, I mean, honestly, going into the race because of the injury, like you mentioned, and in qualifying and even in practice, he didn't seem to be on it. And usually Saturdays are his stronger suits. Well, looking at last season, at least, I thought that, you know, Sainz would comfortably be leading the charge for McLaren today. And I mean, it did look like that for the opening, even the opening half of the race, you know, the first stint. Then second stint, obviously, Sainz dropped off. I think what was really important as well in the fact that Norris ended up getting P5 was the fact that McLaren issued team orders and Sainz happily pulled over to let Norris pass, you know. I think when you compare that to the rivals they had in the race, Renault and Racing Point, both of them lost time because their drivers were fighting each other. But I mean, it just goes to show how helpful a harmonious atmosphere in a driver lineup can be, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was great. I mean, Sainz was in the position he was in because McLaren botched his pit stop. Basically, he fell from, I think it was 5th to 13th because of that. And then went on to, unfortunately, to ruin his tyres trying to make up positions while running around in the midfield. And yet when McLaren made the call and said to him, like, move over, give Lando a chance, there wasn't even a hesitation from him. This is a team game. McLaren is very much a team, if you want to call it that. They're really doing everything they can to improve, and both of the guys are willing to do what they can, you know, listen to the team without complaints and stuff. If the team says this is the order, then this is the order. And yeah, well done to Sainz. He needs as much credit as Norris for Lando's P5.
I mean, it was undoubtedly the highlight of the race, and it was so, and obviously Renault couldn't be involved last week because, well, it wasn't a particularly successful weekend for them in general. Their car that qualified well, Ricciardo, retired early, and Ocon didn't retire, but he'd qualified poorly, so he's always just kind of making up the ground. But yeah, it looked like this weekend, at least, the three teams all had fairly similar pace, I think. Again, maybe McLaren and Racing Point a little ahead of Renault, but not much in it, really. I mean, can Ferrari even get into this battle? You know, it's by no means a given at this point, is it?
No, it's not, unfortunately. I mean, it seemed like Danny Ric had the better pace in the first bit of the race, but unfortunately he was stuck behind Ocon. And Renault, for some reason, that befuddles me to this moment, didn't tell Ocon to move aside. I mean, Danny Ric was also on the better tyres. So that was a really strange call, and I think it was one that they landed up paying the price for. If they had made that call earlier in the race, he might have been the guy who was finishing fifth, having built up a lead over those behind him. And then Racing Point had Sergio Perez and Lance Stroll briefly going at it as well. Again, it's a team sport. I get your drivers are needing to race and everything, but with the midfield this tight and the potential for Ferrari getting it right and later on in the season playing a role in that battle as well, wouldn't you want to see how many points you could walk off with on a Sunday afternoon these days, irrespective of who's first and who's second out of your two drivers?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a big opportunity for them at the moment with Ferrari's complete, you know, just, I mean, Ferrari's struggles. And the fact that Red Bull, I mean, Verstappen looks, you know, way clear of the midfield. But, I mean, Alex Albon was caught up in it. Almost got caught by Sergio Perez, who I think we also need to mention because he got driver of the day. Everybody would have agreed with that if not for the late charge of Lando Norris and Perez's own damage to his wing. But, I mean, before he got that damage, he was so far clear of his teammate of the Renaults and of the McLarens, and if he got his overtake right, he would have got a Red Bull and finished fourth. I mean, every year he just shows just how good he is.
Sergio Perez is one of those drivers that you kind of sit there scratching your head as to why he's not in one of the top three teams. I mean, he really is fantastic. He gets more out of the car than his teammates do, potentially more out of the car than the car actually has in it. He should have taken Albon for fourth. He had the pace to do it. But yeah, just a little touch, and that was one damaged car. And I think he fell to sixth at the end of the results, which was a bit disappointing for him. But like he said, you know, at least he got to finish the race.
Just one last thing, because I feel like it's worth talking about, because, I mean, it's very noticeable when you look at the timing sheet. Alex Albon, I mean, you look at his pace, it was so far off Max Verstappen in exactly the same car on the same strategies as well. Is this a cause for concern for Red Bull? Yeah, I mean, I think he was very unlucky last week, obviously, with the incident. And I don't know, I feel like he's been given a bit of leeway, given that he's so much better than how Pierre Gasly did in that same car last year. But, I mean, going forward, he needs to be closer, you know. Red Bull need to make it a 2-on-2 fight, don't they?
They do. I mean, he, like you say, he does need to be closer. But you've also got to take into account that Max Verstappen he's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, like Sergio Perez against his teammates, like Lewis Hamilton against his, they're in a class of their own. They've got that certain something that just, they're wow. So to ask Alex Albon to be on the same level as Max, I think is maybe asking a bit too much of him. But yes, Red Bull do need him to be at least pushing Max a bit harder. At least taking the fight to Valtteri Bottas on a day when hopefully Max can take the fight to Lewis Hamilton, that it could be one Mercedes and two Red Bulls on the podium. But I'd like to see Red Bull continue with Alex for the rest of the season. I feel sometimes they're a bit too quick to replace a driver, and it really does hit that person's confidence.
Yeah, not the most trustworthy team on the grid, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, it was disappointing, and I think that Albon just needs to be within a pit stop range of Mercedes, I think, just to kind of put a spanner in their strategies so they don't just have freedom to do whatever they want and, you know, take two different routes to try and hold off Verstappen. That being said, I do think that they should stick with him for the rest of the season, because I do think they act too quickly. You know, if you look back at even going down to AlphaTauri or what used to be Toro Rosso, you had the likes of Jean-Éric Vergne. Turned out he was a really good driver. They just got rid of him far too quickly, and I think they're probably regretting that now. But I mean, obviously the race in general wasn't as good as last week's race. But I mean, obviously that was a tough act to follow. Last week was pretty insane. But all in all, do you think this whole double header of two races back to back on the same track, same format, worked, or do you think it needs to be mixed up for for when it gets to Silverstone, for example?
Oh, Finley, I do think it worked. I think we had two very different races, but it was definitely helped by the fact that qualifying took place in the wet. So maybe for Silverstone, they need to switch the sprinklers on for one of the Grand Prix?
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. I wouldn't complain. It's hard to tell, really, isn't it? Because obviously things were massively different for the second race because of the weather. Yeah, the Saturday made things a lot more exciting over the course of the whole weekend. I mean, that qualifying session was probably more interesting than the race in general. Yeah, I do think if it was completely dry all weekend, then it maybe would have been a little dull. But I mean, I don't think you can complain, really, can we? It was still turned out pretty well. And yeah, at the end of the day, we got two perfectly good races. I don't think either was a complete bore fest. One was just so good it made the other one look a bit dull, really. Yeah, well, we've got yet another one next week, the Hungarian Grand Prix. Taking a look ahead to that, obviously, we've all kind of determined a pecking order, but it's all been at one track, so our pecking order is based on how well cars do at the Red Bull Ring. Obviously, the Hungarian Ring is a completely different track. Do we expect performance levels to kind of differ there? Do we think, Ferrari, for example, their issue was obviously their engine. It's hope for the teams that aren't doing so well, I guess, isn't it?
Ferrari will definitely be hoping for a better weekend. And by the sounds of it, their car will be more suited to the Hungarian Ring. But I think we can still expect to see Mercedes and Red Bull fighting at the front. and McLaren and Racing Point fighting for third place.
It sounds nice seeing McLaren fighting for third place again. It's been a while. But two races in, got another one next week. It's all going pretty well. I mean, obviously, social distancing measures as well, but they haven't really had a negative effect on proceedings, I wouldn't say. There's a lot of coronavirus tests going on and no positive tests as of yet. I mean, it's been a pretty perfect return to racing for the sport in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think Formula One's done a fantastic job. I mean, first international sport to get going. Like you say, there hasn't been a positive test, so hats off to them. The majority of the field have been listening to the protocols and adhering to those. Things will be a little tighter in Hungary. Apparently, they've been threatened with prison if they go and eat out anywhere that's not at their hotel or at the track. So, yeah, things will be a little stricter there, so maybe a little tenser as well. But, yeah, Formula One, as I said, they've done a fantastic job. Congrats to Chase Carey and Ross Brawn for getting the show going and for doing it in such a smooth way. I mean, it's a little weird watching robots bring trophies to drivers and things like that. And, you know, the normal hugs and stuff is out the window. But I think Formula One's doing a really good job.
Such with anything in our lives at this point in the world at the moment, I think we will look back at it next year or in 2 years and it'll all seem so strange, you know, these little robots carrying the trophies and these podium ceremonies on the grid. Yeah, it could still feel pretty surreal, but it's definitely, all things considered, definitely a really successful return for the sport. So, that's about everything. We'll be back again, this time next week, to discuss everything that happens in Hungary. Hopefully we get a slightly more interesting Sunday than we got this time round, but who knows? It doesn't always produce the best races, but hey-ho, we can only hope. Thanks to everyone, as always, for listening. And before Friday, when our coverage of FP1 will get started, be sure to keep an eye on our website, planetf1.com, as well as our social media. Our Facebook is planetf1 and our Twitter's planet_F1. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, then be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, because it really goes a long way to helping us out. So yeah, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Stressed about your bladder? You're not alone. Millions of women are affected. B-Braun's Divine is the solution. An intravaginal medical product, easy to use like a tampon, completely invisible, with daily continence control, giving you the freedom to laugh, cough, run without leakage. Divine is available online at LloydsPharmacy.ie and in stores nationwide. Take control with Divine.
Sports Social Podcast Network.